السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده، فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه، فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه، وذلك أضعف الإيمان. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers, before commencing with the bayan, while listening to the adhan being given, this thought came to my mind to share one teaching of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also ulama-i kiram have explained that it is a proven prescription for death with iman. And this is something which every single person has a fear with regards to. No matter how high his level of spirituality, no matter what a wali of Allah he may be, even the Sahaba-i kiram had this fear that we do not know whether we will leave this world with iman, or whether in the last few moments before we pass away, this great bounty and ni'mat of iman will be snatched away. That is why we always hear that those people of insight and those people of piety and those people who have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those people who have true knowledge, they will understand that there is no need to be proud. Because a person can only really smile and really be proud of himself is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will give the person the certificate of Iman and will say that, "Oh my servant, I am pleased with you." Otherwise, no person knows what his end result will be. And every person has this fear. And we know that Shaitan also, he launches the most severe attack in the last few moments of a person's life. So therefore, on the other hand, we should not lose hope. Because Hadith Sharif says that how you will live, in that condition you will die. And whichever condition you will die, that will be the condition in which you will be raised before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, if a person led his life according to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is great hope that inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him death on iman. And if he is granted a mubarak and good death, then on the day of Qiyamah, he will be resurrected in the same manner. But at the same time, pride must not enter our hearts when we are worshipping and in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Hadith Sharif which comes to mind, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a person will do such good deeds and continuously do such good deeds until حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ, until there is no difference between him and Jannah except a mere hand span. But then, suddenly in the last few moments, he will do the action of those people of Jahannam, and therefore he will enter Jahannam. And on the other hand, a person will do evil, and continuously do evil, until he reaches that point, where him and Jahannam is just the distance between him and Jahannam is a mere hand span. But then suddenly in the last few moments, he makes such a sincere tawbah, and he does the actions of those people of Jannah, and then he becomes a person of Jannah. So a person must never ever be proud. Nevertheless, a prescription for death with Iman. Ulama-i kiram have mentioned that when the Adhan has been given, a person who listens to the Adhan and thereafter he gives jawab to the Adhan, that means when the Muazzin says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, he repeats the same words. When he says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, he also says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That is why it is essential that the Muaddin who is giving the Adhan, he will pause sufficiently for people to reply to that Adhan. And when he says Hayya al-Salah and Hayya al-Falah, In these occasions, he would say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Right till the end, he would repeat the words of the adhan. And after the adhan, the dua which Rasulullah s.a.w. has taught us, is you must recite the dua, Allahumma rabba hadihi da'wati tamma, wa salati al-qa'ima, aati Muhammadin al-wasilata wal-fadila, wa ba'athu maqaman mahmoodan illadhi wa'atta. So in this riwayat, Nabi s.a.w. said, whoever would recite this dua, then wajabat lahu shafa'ati, my intercession on his behalf will become mandatory, it'll become necessary. It'll become wajib for me to intercede on behalf of that person. And we all know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that personality. And he is that personality that when he will intercede on behalf of any person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most certainly and most definitely accept his intercession. So in other words, that person who will continuously and make it a habit and a ma'mool to recite this dua after adhan, then inshallah, he has great hope that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede on behalf of him on the day of Qiyamah. And he has great hope then that he will gain entry into Jannah. What a beautiful prescription. So therefore, let us all try and bring this practice into our life, that when the adhan is given, let us pay attention to the adhan. The muaddin is calling us towards success. He is calling us towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is showering us with all the bounties and all the ni'mats. Coming back to the topic, the ayat which I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, O ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm giving the gist of the ayah, that you are the best of ummats. And we know that we have just passed the month of Rabiul Awwal, wherein alhamdulillah, we had continuously listened to different talks and bayans and conferences in which the personality, the life, the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was discussed. And we all realized from all these bayans that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest personality to have ever come on this earth. And no matter how many people have tried to humiliate and have tried to embarrass and have tried to disgrace Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more we find that his personality has become praised in the eyes of people. Look at in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, and all those mushrikeen of Makkah, they abused him, they insulted him, they used vulgar language against him, they tried to disgrace and humiliate him. But, subhanallah, today we find that throughout the world, every continent, we find people reciting durood and salam, sending salutation on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when a person goes to Medina Sharif, you will witness that beautiful scene in which the lovers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam converge and convey their salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even today we find that in Europe, there is this sudden movement where many people are trying to disgrace and humiliate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, we find they would not be able to humiliate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where can they humiliate and disgrace Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has praised him? And when we find that durood and salam is on the increase, we find that in little children are reciting thousands and thousands of durood throughout the world. And throughout the world, we find in every single adhan, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being praised. So in the month of Rabiul Awwal, continuously we heard about the greatness of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is the greatest of all the Anbiya, the leader of all the Anbiya. Therefore, the followers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are regarded as the best of all the ummats. From all the other Anbiya alayhi wasalam, the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the best of ummats. And in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even refers to this aspect, that you are the best of all ummats. And we find that because of the love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has really favored the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to make a lot of shukr and express a lot of gratitude that we have been chosen to be in the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How fortunate we are. When other anbiya, Nabi Musa alayhi salam and many other anbiya, they made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, grant me that ummah. In one hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, grant me that ummah which has such wonderful qualities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam that you will not be able to get that ummah. That ummah is for the best of all anbiya. So he said, Ya Allah, if I cannot get that ummah, then at least make me amongst that ummah of the best of all anbiya. So look at that, it was his tamanna and it was his desire to be from the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You and I have been selected and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be amongst the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we find that in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, together with this great bounty, there is also a great responsibility which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on the ummah, which is the greatest of all ummahs. And we find this responsibility generally was the responsibility of Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, that they were sent into this world to take man out from the worship of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards ila ibadati rabbil ibad, towards the worship of the creator of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to take man out from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then to connect him and to link him with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to keep man within the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take man out from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to bring man towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to prevent man from doing those things which will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to promote goodness in the world and to curtail, to prevent and to stop evil from spreading throughout the world. This was the duty of the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And we find that this was a quality that was trained and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ensured that the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam had the sympathy and compassion. This morning I was reading in the Mathnawi of Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi. He mentions an incident of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu was-salam. That we find that Musa alayhi salatu was-salam, he was a shepherd. And we find this was a quality of every Nabi, that at some time or the other in their lives, they were shepherds. Ulama-i kiram have gone into a discussion on the reason and the hikmat why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made every Nabi a shepherd. And they mention that we find that goats and sheep, they have a tendency of wandering this way and that way, and it's very difficult to control them. So the Nabi, by getting this training of ensuring that the goats and sheep remain within a certain boundary, and developing that compassion and sympathy for these animals, he will then be able to lead mankind and keep mankind within the boundaries of Shariat and the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on one occasion, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a particular goat wandered off. And Musa alayhi salam realized that this goat is wandering off, so he tried to catch it, but it continued running. And Musa alayhi salam gave chase until he ran fast to such a distance that he couldn't even see the flock any longer. And in the process, he got a lot of blisters and he was injured as well. But finally, this goat grew very tired. And Musa alayhi salam then went to this goat and he addressed this goat. He said, "Oh goat, if you could not have sympathy on me and you could not have sympathy on my blisters, then couldn't you have sympathy on yourself?" And then he held this goat and he showed mahabbat to this goat and love to this goat. And he brought this goat back to the sheep. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi mentions that at this occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the malaika and said that now Musa alayhi salam is ready to guide mankind. So this quality of sympathy, this quality of compassion must enter our hearts. In Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions, "Irhamu man fil ard, irhamkum man fis sama." Have mercy to those on earth, the one in the heavens will have mercy upon you. So therefore, this mercy and this compassion is not only limited to Muslimin, and neither is it limited to only mankind. This compassion and mercy should even be for the creatures on the earth, the animals that are roaming on the earth. So we find that when this sympathy and compassion enters the heart, then a Nabi is ready to guide mankind. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ummat is such a great ummat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed the same responsibility of Anbiya alayhim as-salam on the shoulders of every single ummati. And what is this responsibility? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That we must enjoin, we must command, we must encourage people towards good, and we must discourage, we must prevent people from doing things which are evil. This quality of sympathy must enter the heart to such an extent that we find When a person walks and he sees anything being done contrary to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there must be something that he feels within his heart. He must want to change that condition. And this was a sifat and quality we found in Sahaba-i-Kiram, that each and every one of them spend their time in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then when they spread throughout the four corners of the world, we find that merely by doing business with people, by interacting with people, we find that they were able to entice people and they were able to influence people towards the deen of Islam. Now if we look at this quality of persuading others, it's a very powerful social mechanism. And we find that in our daily social activities, we are always using this. Either we are persuading somebody else or we are being persuaded by somebody else. Even if we look at business deals, whether it's the purchasing of a shoe, purchasing of a car, or it's doing some type of investment, it's always that either we are persuading somebody else or we are being persuaded by others. And that is what advertising is all about. And we know that marketers, they really long for this, where they become the talk of the town and where their product can be spread by word of mouth. It's very, very powerful. So Shariat and Islam understand that this is a very powerful social mechanism. And therefore Islam says that we must use this mechanism to do what? To promote goodness in the earth and to prevent people from doing evil. We find that in our homes, and this is not, we must understand that this is not the responsibility of only a certain group or a certain group of ulama or a certain organization. Each and every person in his individual life has the capacity of encouraging people to do good and discouraging people from evil. We have to look at the different occasions. Obviously, a lot of wisdom has to be included in encouraging people. You have to look at the occasion, and you have to look at the person you are speaking to. Sometimes silence itself is a da'wah. It's a form of inviting a person. One time, Hazrat Mawashab Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he was on a train, and he saw a certain person with his trousers below the ankles, and we all know, then in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, ma asfara min al-izar, ma asfara min al-ka'bain, min al-izar fi al-nar, kama qala alayhi salatu wa sallam, that portion of the trousers for men, obviously, that portion of the trousers which is below the ankles, whether it's a pants, whether it is your kurta, whether it is a jubba, any garment flowing from the top down, if it is coming from the bottom upwards, if it's socks, then that is exempted. But any garment coming from above down, if it is below the ankles, then in the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that that portion will be in the fire of Jahannam. So therefore this is a very, very stern warning from Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he saw one Muslim person with his trouser below his ankle. So that jazba, that zeal came in his heart to tell this person. So he told him that you are Muslim, you should not be wearing your trouser below your ankles, lift up your pants. So he said, where does it come? So he said, it comes in the Hadith Sharif. So this person in retaliation, he went to the extent of swearing the Hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawlana Ashraf Idami rahmatullah says, from that day he learnt his lesson, that some people, when you do not have that kind of ta'alluq with the person, when you do not have that type of relationship with the person, where he will listen to your advice and your nasiha, then rather you remain silent. Otherwise the person can utter a statement which takes him out of the fold of Islam. Because a person who denies, a person who doesn't practice on Hadith Sharif, then that person, fine, we will say that he will be, you know, punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we can still say he is a mu'min. But if a person rejects the Hadith, if a person rejects any injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rejects it, then the ulama say that that person is out of the fold of Islam. If that person is married, his marriage, his nikah will be broken. If that person passes away, or if that person, his family or relative, close relative passes away, he will not inherit from that person. So the repercussions are very, very serious. So therefore you have to look at the occasion. Sometimes you have to be very gentle. But where we know a person is a close friend, he's a relative, a father advising his son, the husband advising the wife with a lot of kindness and gentleness, the wife advising the husband with a lot of love, affection, choosing the right occasion. We know that the husband came from work, he's very, very exhausted, he's tired. Now if the wife has to advise him and blast him, we know, we as menfolk, unfortunately, it is our weakness that we do not have this kind of sabr and tolerance. And we have to learn to accept. You know, unfortunately we find in the community that now the situation is such that we only want to hear the good about ourselves. If a person praises us, then we are very, very happy. But the moment a person says something which we do not like, and sometimes it's the truth. The person is telling us something about ourselves and it's the truth. The moment we hear this, we become very, very upset. We become very, very upset. And we have heard that famous poem of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib where he says, Nasiha mat kar nasiha dil mera ghabrawe hai. Main samjhu hu usko dushman jo mujhe samjhawe hai. He says, oh person giving me advice, don't give me advice. Please don't give me advice because I become very, very agitated. And I find that in my heart I get a palpitation. So don't give me advice. Because I regard that person who gives me advice as my enemy. So this should not be our condition. That if a person gives us advice, if he promotes us and he encourages us to do those things which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we must accept it with an open heart. If the person is criticizing and we know that this person's criticism is based merely on jealousy or it is based merely on animosity, then to give the person a hearing and look into it. If we find that weakness is within ourselves, then we have to work towards correcting ourselves. We find that if we look at any industry, they are always looking for the shortfalls, the deficiency in their product. And we always find that they try and change their product. They improve their product. But they can only improve their product when they know where the defects and the weaknesses are. This is the same condition as our lives. We can only improve ourselves if we know where our faults and our shortfalls are. So therefore we have to learn to accept our weaknesses. So coming back to this ayat of Quran Sharif, in the Hadith Sharif which I quoted, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, any one of you who sees a wrong being done, then he should try and change it with his hands. Physically try and change the wrong which is being done. If he cannot do it physically, then he should try and change it with his tongue. If he cannot do that, then with his heart. He should try and change that wrong with his heart, or at least feel bad when the evil is being committed. Let us examine our lives and let us examine ourselves in the light of this Hadith Sharif. We find daily, we find the amount of evil which is being committed around us. We're driving past schools, past universities, walking through the shopping malls. The amount of evil that is being committed, zina which is being committed. Zina is not only the physical act of zina, it is also zina al-ayn al-nazr. The zina of the eyes is casting evil and lustful glances. Looking at a woman with an evil intention, fantasizing, or for a woman to look at a man with those evil intentions, then this is zina. Talking to a woman who we're not supposed to be talking to with evil intentions, this is also zina. So we find that daily, we're driving past the schools, how much of zina is taking place. Do we find any change and any bad feeling in our hearts? Because in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if we find a bad feeling in our heart, then know that this is the weakest form of iman. So if we're not even getting that evil feeling, and if we're not even feeling bad, then, respected elders and brothers, we have to make sure that we work towards strengthening our iman. There are stories of certain akabirin and certain buzurgani deen. One wali of Allah, he was passing by and he saw two people, a man and woman, they were engaged in zina of talking to one another or whatever it was, an encounter which was taking place. It is recorded that this buzurug, for a few days thereafter, when he would go to the toilet, he would pass blood instead of urine. That's how it had affected him. Today we find there's absolutely no change. We have become so immune to these evils. So therefore we have to have that sympathy, that compassion. And this was the fikr of every single Nabi. And this should be the fikr of each and every one of us. How each and every person can be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each person can be taken out from this fire of sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant each and every one of us the ability to get these qualities in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering, the difficulties of all the Muslims throughout the world. And in fact, the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.